James.
Yes, Jordan.
Steelers football is back.
No doubt, man. Hell of a weekend.
Yeah. We had game, Hall of Fame weekend, and practice.
Brett Keese.
Heck yeah.
Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody. Cody, how are you this fine Monday evening?
James, I am doing well, doing better than the past few weeks. Life is slowly coming back to some kind of form of understanding thing. I don't know. Life is getting better to some degree. I did just get the job offer to work with you.
It's about time, man. So I'm glad these guys are getting things moving.
Heck yeah, that's exciting. So we're moving forward with that process and just excited to get into the full swing. Like, listen, football's on now. Football's on, everyone. In case you didn't know, football's on.
We had a preseason game already. We got another one coming on Thursday, 7:30 kickoff.
Yep.
On Fox.
We apologize for not going live last week like we planned to. Halftime was just super short.
Yeah, it was kind of hectic too.
Yeah, it was hectic where we were and what we were doing, but that's okay. We still plan to do some more live events this upcoming year, and we'll make sure to keep you guys informed of when that happens. But we did a decent job of tweeting throughout the game and trying to keep you guys informed with what we saw, what we thought. It was a good game. I mean, we got the dub, so.
Yeah, man, I thought a lot of the guys looked a lot better than I thought. And I didn't really come away from that game being super disappointed with anybody's play on the field. But before we get into that, there was some news that happened previous to the game, so we're going to cover that with you guys first.
100%.
First thing, Jarvis Miller, the middle linebacker, was waived, and then running back Tony Brooks James was signed to the team. This is due to the injury to Benny Snell, who's missed practice for probably close to a week now.
Sadly.
Yeah, unfortunately. Sounds like he's starting to work his way back in practice. Not a full participant yet, but when we were there on Sunday, he was running on the sideline, which is usually one of the last phases before you're a full participant. So cross your fingers. Maybe we'll see him in the game this upcoming week. Thursday against the Eagles, right?
That's right, Philadelphia.
Thursday against the Eagles. Battle of Pennsylvania.
We know who wins. It's okay.
Yeah.
Let me clarify. We know who wins in a regular season game. This game matters less about the winning, but I still think that our backups are going to be outplay theirs. So.
Yeah, and probably our quarterback situation depth-wise is better than theirs as well. It's starting to look a lot stronger than we thought it was,
yes,
honestly.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Beyond the Tony Brooks James.
Yeah, cornerback DeMarcus Acy out with an ACL injury. Yep. Not good. That happened on Tuesday in practice.
He tweeted it out, torn ACL. That'll put him out for the year. He should revert back to the Steelers' injured reserve list. That'll give him a chance to try again next year to make the team. He did try last year as well, so
maybe
third time's a charm.
Yep, him and Anthony Coyle both were on that, or were in that waived injured thing, and both haven't yet, but should revert back to that injured and physically unable to perform list. So expect that hopefully here in the next few days. I don't see either one of them getting signed or stolen.
No, it's kind of
especially DeMarcus Acy.
Yeah, and it's kind of an unwritten rule too, when a guy goes and gets waived. And the intention is to put them on the injured reserve list. Other teams don't claim them. There's really only one team that does once in a while. That's the Patriots.
Shocker.
And then they bring them back later on in the season. And somebody that a team might have been hoping to bring back, they're not able to bring back. That all changes once the regular season happens. Because you can put somebody straight to the injured reserve. For whatever reason, they haven't fixed that in the preseason yet. It's just a dumb thing. Hopefully, they'll fix that in future years. But next, we get into the very first preseason game of the year.
Yep.
The Hall of Fame game.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And James and I had the glorious interaction of being together for this game, which we don't do enough. But,
no.
But I also have my fantasy football team guys that like to get together, too, and it's hard to pair everything up. But it was good. The biggest thing, or the first thing we want to point out, is the starting offensive line.
Yeah, it was a pretty important thing. We knew that a lot of the guys were out and not practicing previous to the game, so you weren't really sure who was going to be available for it. Ended up Dan Moore starting at left tackle, B.J. Finney left guard. The third-round pick center, Kendrick Green, the rookie. Right guard was Rashad Coward, and then Joe Haig starting at right tackle. So gave us kind of a look as to who's probably kind of running second team with the starters not able to go, other than Green, who is projected to be the week one starter at this point.
Yeah, definitely important to see who's going to be backing up there, because that's been something that we've talked about even in our 53-man predictions of, you know, are any of these new guys that they brought in going to be there? Even they've even brought newer guys in, like with the Chaz Green signing that we'll get into later, and a couple other guys that have been brought in since our 53-man predictions, way too early, by the way. So very interesting and very actually comforting to me to see that Finney was in there.
Yeah.
I didn't not expect that, but Finney starting in that position, in that guard position, adds a little bit of comfort in the depth area for that guard position.
Yeah, now other starters on the offense, Mason Rudolph got the start for this game. I wouldn't be surprised if it's flip-flopped the next few games. Haskins gets a start, then Mason gets a start. If Mason gets the start every game or comes in as the number two every game behind Ben, that tells you a little bit more of what you need to know on how the quarterback battle is shaping up. But the running back, Najee, started the game off.
Yep.
Tight end, we did see the Zach Gentry started the game. A lot of mixture between him and Kevin Rader. You can tell that there's a battle going on between
it's
the two.
It's a big battle.
Yeah.
Not just because of their size.
Yeah, they're big boys. They're very big. They look a lot bigger in person.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, in person, Zach Gentry looks like a made-up character on like
Madden.
NBA 2K or something, man. He just looks...
The enlargement cheat where they just become like towers of man. Yeah, that's what he looks like. Gentry's, I mean, even standing next to Freiermuth, Gentry looked big.
Significantly taller. That's
weird.
For sure.
I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah, very weird. Wide receivers, all of them were healthy and all of them played. When it was a three wide receiver set, we saw Juju, Deontay, and Chase, just as it was last year. So no surprises there. Starting defense. We had Henry Mondo and Chris Wormley starting off in a nickel formation, so we didn't have a D-tackle, right out of the gate. Alex Highsmith and Marsh were the starting outside linebackers, middle linebackers UG3 and Robert Spillane. And then we had Antoine Brooks Jr. in the slot starting.
Yeah, which that's no surprise there. He's talked about it enough. Tomlin's talked about it enough. That was actually a really exciting thing to see.
Yeah. James Pierre and Cam Sutton were the starting corners.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Norwood, the rookie seventh round pick, started at free safety, and then Miles Killebrew at strong safety. When they switched to a 3-4, then Bugs was our nose tackle. So that tells you that he was at least probably is the number two right now on an actual real depth chart, not just something that they put.
Yeah.
Online just to pacify people, which is what they did.
Which we were looking at. Whose team were we looking at the other day? And they didn't have a depth chart up.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember who it was.
I don't remember. Was it the Ravens? I don't know.
No, it was. I don't remember who it was. We were looking for running backs. It was probably Arizona, right?
It was.
We were trying
to
figure out if Connor was going to get any competition from any of the running backs in that room.
Yep.
And they literally don't even have a depth chart posted yet. Just says coming soon.
Sad.
To a field near you.
Maybe.
A lineup no one cares about.
Nope. Except for the fact, I do want to see James. We talked about it on the way down to Pittsburgh. I do want to see James.
Yeah, we want to see him do well. We want to see him do well. Just because he's not a Steeler anymore.
Just not against Pittsburgh when he plays us.
Yeah, that's it.
You can have one bad game a year if we play you once a year.
Yeah, that's it. Once a year if you play Pittsburgh. We don't want you to do well. Sorry, James.
Yeah, just take a break. Sit on the bench.
This is no different from what I tell my wife, right? Wife's a Browns fan, for those of you who don't know. And I always tell her every season, I hope the Browns do real well this year, win every game but two.
That's fair.
Pittsburgh, I want them to win those games both times.
I would prefer them to win four games. I prefer them to...
Believe me, I'd much rather they win four. But I do like seeing her happy. That's very important to me.
No, I mean, I would just rather them trade off with the...
The Bengals?
The Bengals and the Ravens.
Yeah, become the worst team?
Yeah.
It might be about 2 years away from happening.
Whatever. Though. It's probably less than 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, next year is going to be rough for them.
It's very rough.
I foresee them having to do a real fire sale to get Baker Mayfield under the cap.
Yep.
Especially with that contract that Josh Allen just signed, $43 million a year.
Yep.
You're not going to get Baker for less than that now.
Nope. But here's the other thing, going back, not going too far off topic, going back to the game,
Special team starter
was Presley Harvin III.
Yep.
PH3.
He punted the entire game. We didn't see a single punt.
And he showed us literally everything we could have wanted to see.
Incredible punting. Sam Sloman got the start at kicker.
Whoops.
Showed you everything you didn't want to see. Unfortunately.
He cleaned it up a little bit later on.
Yeah, he was just nervous. Start. Very rough start. He missed a field goal. He missed an extra point.
He's a very short and stout individual.
He is.
You can't tell until you see him standing next to Boswell.
Yeah.
And there's like a, seven inch difference, probably more.
Yeah.
And he's just a little chunky guy.
And we're talking height.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe girth, too. Maybe.
Yeah, there really is. Because
Sloman's a little chunky dude.
Yeah, and Boswell's a pretty fit dude, that's for sure. So, yeah, let's get into the position by position.
Hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
Anthony McFarland starting at kick return. Love to see that.
Yes.
He was, and this is one thing that I noted during the game that I think is important. Anthony McFarland, this is only, his third year in the league? Second or third?
Second.
It's his second.
Second. He was rookie last year.
Anthony McFarland did a wonderful job. The first kickoff was no more than 2 or 3 yards deep in the end zone. But he still understood, hey, we're just getting started. Let's not give the other team a chance to make a fumble or whatever. And he kneeled the ball. To me, that showed maturity and understanding that let me prove my worth as the position I'm in. Not saying he couldn't prove his worth. We've seen so many guys do that on special teams. But Anthony McFarland was like, I'm not going to take a chance. I'm going to kneel the ball. We'll get it at the 20-yard line. Good to go.
And the way the kick return unit has been for Pittsburgh for like the last 5 years, I'm sure they're coached that if you catch it in the end zone, do not bring it out. Because unfortunately, Pittsburgh doesn't typically block the kick returns well enough to open up holes for you to get back to the 25 anyway.
Correct.
Shows that he's listening to his coaching. And also listening to his teammates, because I think it was Kalen Ballage came back to him.
The second time,
yeah. He's like, don't do it, bro. Stay in there.
The one that was like 7 yards deep.
Yeah, stay in there. punt returner.
We did see Cody Sexton.
No.
No, not at first. Didn't we see him once?
It's not Cody Sexton.
What is it? Matt Sexton. I'm thinking of Cody White. Excuse me. Matt Sexton. Yes, Matthew Sexton. And he...
Oh, my Lord, that return.
He had a nice return.
I'm going to go out of order. I'm going to talk about a play.
Talk about
before
it.
Before we're even into it. We're going to go quarterbacks and running backs and all that. But I'm going to talk about this return man slash wide receiver. He is every bit, if not faster, than what he timed, brother.
Yep.
What was it, like a 4.35?
Yeah, but his game speed?
Holy crap.
He saw that. He made one guy miss, saw that hole, and took it.
Yeah, and a lot of times you get guys like that and they don't have any change of direction or agility. This dude has every little bit of wiggle you would hope a punt return man to have.
Yep.
And is really going to challenge these other wide receivers for that sixth spot, assuming they keep six.
Yeah.
And assuming the top five are exactly what we think they're going to be.
He's going to be challenging
when the
Ray
time
Ray.
Comes. What an explosive individual. He made some really nice moves to get people to miss and then just shot right up that sideline, man.
Yeah, and like again, not to go too far, but even in practice, he was flashy.
That was one of my biggest takeaways from Cannon from that practice is that he just is really explosive.
Very explosive.
And more so than it looked like in the game to me.
Mm-hmm.
In person, watching him, he was crisp in his route running. And really, when he got it, just look out because he's taking off.
Yep.
And there aren't too many corners on the Steelers roster quick enough to hang with a guy like that, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah, very crazy to think about, but exciting to see. Let's not reel it back. We're fishing. We're reeling it back in. All right, here we go.
Do we just want to get the special teams out of the way?
We can.
Go offense and
defense?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
We're already here.
We already talked about Sloman.
We already talked about him.
Let's talk about the four punts of Presley Harvin III.
First punt. First punt was the
10-yard line.
Bounced right up.
Yeah, beautiful job. Yeah,
pinned him on it.
Yeah, they couldn't even return the ball. Second one
hit at the goal line, basically.
Stayed out of there.
Bounced straight up in the air, and then basically just did a backward spin nowhere, is the best way that I can describe it. It literally hit so perfectly that it just spun again, but didn't go backward or forward, and it stayed basically right where it was, then landed and rolled maybe a half yard backward or
yeah,
the length
I think
of the
it was
football.
Officially the half yard line.
Yeah, it was
incredible.
Amazing.
One of the best placed punts I've ever seen in my life.
Somebody
incredible to
who
see
was
it in the preseason.
Who was the guy that tweeted out that he just got his best punt of his career? Yeah, good job getting it out now.
Yeah, good job getting it out of the way. I don't know who that was either, but that was pretty funny. it kind of reminds me of when you see somebody shooting pool and they're pretty good at it.
Yep.
And they put backspin on the ball and they hit the ball and then that cue ball just stops after the. That's exactly what happened to the punt. Yep. Just very, very impressive.
The only other time, there's only been one more impressive punt that had a stop like that.
All right.
And it wasn't because of the punter. It was in that stupid Miami game in the old Heinz Field when it was raining and the ball hit and just stuck.
Wasn't that in Miami during the freaking hurricane?
Excuse me, it wasn't Miami.
Yeah, like it was right after a hurricane.
And that field was muddy.
Oh, yeah.
And that ball hit and just...
That was the James Harrison breakout game.
It was.
He had like three forced fumbles in that game.
That was a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun right there, man. That was a lot of fun.
So again, the only more impressive stick of a ball was because of the weather.
Yeah,
because
of the weather conditions. So third punt, he directed it to the sideline, mm-hmm. went out of bounds at the 11-yard line. Again, no return.
Yep. Fourth punt. Was a little short of...
Just short of him.
Yeah, just short of the player returning, the punt returner. Bounced twice, I believe, and on the second bounce, nailed him right in the face mask, yep. and he muffed it. And then who was there to pick it up? Was it Johnson? No,
I think I have the note. You have the note somewhere. For sure.
We're getting out of order, so
yeah, that's gonna be a tougher one to find. I think I might not have that note.
That's
sorry.
Okay. I think it was Anthony Johnson. I'm 99% sure that it was, but we can also confirm that later on. But again, you saw him punt the ball and stick it. Like inside the 10 on a regular punt, you saw him punt the ball and get it stuck inside the 1 on a regular punt with a phenomenal backspin. You saw him be able to punt the ball out of bounds inside the 15, if you want to be legit, like straight with it, inside the 11. And then you got to see him punt short and have a good bounce on it to where the opposing player either A, didn't know what to do with it, or B, which actually wound up happening, muffed it.
Yeah.
I don't know what more you want to see other than a fake.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it, which I don't think they're going to do in the preseason.
I would like to see it, but I also don't think they're going to.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree 100%.
We want to see it. We want it to
badly.
Happen.
Badly.
It'll be against the Browns game. It'll be in the Browns game. Probably. I hope not. I don't know. I'm nervous, but I'm excited for it, for sure.
Got to wait until nobody thinks it's coming. That's for sure.
We do. All right. Quarterbacks. Mason Rudolph got the start. We went over that. Ben did not play. Not crazy impressed out of Mason. He played well.
Yeah, he had the best deep ball throw of the game other than Dobbs had a couple nice ones. But the deep ball on the left sideline to Chase Claypool was perfectly thrown.
Yep.
Claypool extended and caught the thing on a pretty difficult catch, honestly. He had to sprawl out for it.
Yeah, the announcers were saying there's push off, but whatever.
Yeah, who cares?
No, whatever. Good no call.
So Mason pretty accurate on the day. Really his only mistakes. I think we saw him throw one behind a guy on a crossing route. And then there was a fake jet sweep. We weren't really sure if it was intended to be a jet sweep. I did watch an interview afterwards,
and it was supposed to be a jet sweep from what Mason said.
So the timing was just off. And from watching practice, what we saw, they don't really have the starting wide receivers practicing that. So that's something that's a timing thing that will be done. They'll get a lot more reps in that during the season because the backup wide receivers don't really practice that much during the season. Like the starters do.
Yep.
So that's a timing thing. They'll get that cleaned up. But Mason was able to move the offense a little bit. A lot of nice, in my opinion, like 7 to 10 yard throws, some out throws, and some stuff over the middle as well, which we didn't see a ton of last year. That was the biggest opportunity.
Yep.
Was those medium length passes. I don't really care about the dump offs. Anybody can complete a dump off. I want to see those 7 to 10 yard passes because that's where you move the sticks.
Yep. Dwayne Haskins came in after him and I think performed better than most people expected him to.
I would agree.
Still didn't have a phenomenal game by any means, but he was. Did he score a touchdown? I can't remember.
No,
the touchdown was Dobbs. Okay.
Yep.
But Haskins, I still think, slung the ball very well. It just wasn't downfield.
Yeah, that's the only drawback. So charted numbers from Alex Kozora at Steelers Depot. The completed passes, the yards completed down the field, that's where the receiver caught the ball versus the line of scrimmage where the ball was snapped. When Mason was on there, it was 8.7-something yards per completion. Unfortunately for Haskins, it was 0.75.
Yeah.
So it was dump off city. Only thing that was really frustrating for me was I keep on hearing all this stuff about how Haskins is doing a great job pushing the ball down the field in practice. And then anytime it was third and long in the game, just kept on dumping it off.
Yep.
Kept on dumping it off. And, you know, just because that's the only guy that you see in the route, you know there's other guys in the route because they're not back in pass protection. Yep. So,
and you hope that's just nerves from the first game back.
Yeah,
He knows he needs to prove himself to a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that's just nerves, and I hope that in the second game, because he's going to get playing time the second game. And Mason Rudolph are probably the only two guaranteed to get playing time in every single preseason game.
Yeah, I would agree.
And I expect him to play better than he did, at least in the sense of I expect that 0.75 to go up.
It'll go up for sure. He's going to have to throw it down the field because honestly, Tomlin's starting to pick on him and calling him check down Charlie. So when that starts happening, you know you got no choice but to push it down the field because you're not going to win a number two job in a battle if you're unwilling to push it down the field in game situations.
Yep.
Moving past those two guys, Josh Dobbs came in with the bottom of the line offensive line, the back end roster wide receivers, moved it right down the field multiple times and threw the only touchdown pass of the game. As I suspected, Dobbs has been through this many times before. He's kind of used to playing at the end of the games mm-hmm. with offensive lines that maybe aren't the greatest. In wide receivers that maybe you can't expect certain things out of. And I feel like he's as ready as anyone could possibly be
for that situation. He was comfortable.
He was so comfortable. It was stupid. I thought Dobbs had one of his better games, honestly. And that touchdown pass was very precise, and so were a lot of other ones that he made on the drives while he was in the game. So I felt like he represented himself very well. And if he keeps on representing himself like that, you might have to reevaluate the whole position of the other three quarterbacks past Ben, and can you figure out how to keep him on the roster?
Yep.
Or maybe you trade him away for a fifth-round pick again and then try to get him back.
Trade him for a fourth at this point.
You never know
how
that'll
work. Just pair him with Jalen Samuels and get a third.
I think that drives the value down.
It probably does. That's okay.
Speaking of running backs, let's go there next.
Yep, Jalen Samuels. We didn't want to see him in the game. He was in the game, sadly.
Yeah, he didn't really do anything.
Not really.
I would say he had the worst performance of all the running backs, in my opinion.
Yeah, he didn't do much, but when he was in there, what he tried to do, he didn't accomplish.
Yeah. Najee started the game, looked good. The very first run play that we saw from Najee. The offensive line, the entire unit jumped into the pile and pushed down the field.
That's like, what you like to see.
We've been begging for it for the last 2 years. And there it was. You know, we finally got it. You saw Kendrick Green jumping in the pile, Dan Moore getting in there, all these guys getting in there and pushing the pile like you're supposed to do. So that was really nice to see from him for sure because we absolutely had to get some nasty going on out of this offensive line. And that first unit, even though they're not all necessarily starters, definitely showed that for us. Kalen Ballage had a real nice touchdown run.
Yeah, he did. Kalen Ballage is looking to be the feature short yardage back if he makes the team. I understand that you may not want to take Najee out.
You're not.
But, well, let me clarify, but like, that's what I meant to say. I understand that you're not going to take him out, but if there's ever a moment where Najee is tired, mm-hmm. I think they're developing a comfort with having Kalen Ballage there. And I realize this is game one, whatever. But Kalen Ballage did very well on two short, I think actually three. I think he went for it on the goal line. And then I know he also converted a fourth and one as well. But he played phenomenally well for what you expected him to do, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a great showing for Kalen. On the touchdown run, he kept his legs going. And it was an absolutely amazing pancake block from Kevin Rader that sprung him.
Mm.
Kevin Rader motioned from the left to the right and then kind of went up in front like a fullback would. And just absolutely annihilated. I think it was a safety that came in and met him in the hole. Knocked him on his back and drove.
Bad idea.
Drove right through him, which is really the thing that Kevin Rader's known for is his excellent blocking ability, and we definitely saw it there. What did you think about Anthony McFarland in the game?
Anthony McFarland didn't do bad. 3 carries, 9 yards. Not a bad you know, average 3 yards per carry. But Anthony McFarland to me still needs to show consistency when not running in open field. I understand there's certain backs that you want to get them to open field, but you also need to understand that the running back position, you're made to run the ball no matter what.
And you're going to have to break some tackles.
Yeah, and that's the only part that I think we're missing from him right now.
I thought he looked more comfortable. I think last year, to me, he looked a little more hesitant in his runs last year. He looked like he was just ready to go 100 miles an hour as soon as he got the ball in this game. So I liked seeing that for sure.
Yeah.
On to tight ends or wide receivers?
Let's do tight ends.
Okay.
You already mentioned Raiders' block.
Yeah.
So I think going off of that, Raider did a phenomenal job showing us that he can do both in this game.
Yeah.
He was targeted once, caught the ball once, 15-yard gain.
That's great.
That's great for
being a tight end. Come on.
Technically third string, probably even debatable fourth string.
Yeah.
I'll take that all day.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought he had a really nice game blocking, which is what he's known for again, but represented himself well in the game. Zach Gentry didn't necessarily separate himself as a blocker, but did look comfortable receiving the ball. So that was nice to have him kind of stretching over the middle a little bit on the one play.
Yeah.
So getting him involved a little bit, good to see. You know, hopefully we get a little bit more out of him in the next couple of games. But that will depend on the health of Eric Ebron and Pat Freiermuth, who both had some nagging injuries, were unable to play in that game. Both did practice yesterday when we were there on Sunday watching practice, although Ebron still has that elbow all taped up and iced up. So I wouldn't be surprised if he mixes the next preseason game and maybe he's back the week after that.
We harassed them a little bit yesterday as well.
As you should.
Yeah, they were doing some tight end drills right next to us, and we harassed them just a little bit.
You got to, man.
It was a good time.
You got to. We yelled out the Pat Freiermuth youth, and he gave us like that fist bump in the air. Yeah, that's our boy right there.
It was a good time.
A Penn State boy.
100%.
Wide receivers.
Chase Claypool to start it off. Obviously, that big catch.
Yeah.
He had 3 catches total for 62 yards.
Did have one he should have caught that he dropped.
Correct, and he knew it.
Yeah.
He knew it, and yeah. I think he'll be beating him. Let me clarify. I don't think he'll be beating himself up about it, but I think that'll be in the back of his mind enough that he's like, I'm not dropping any more balls.
Yeah.
Especially
that was Mason, too, man. He would have been over 100 yards.
Yep.
I think it was a third down, too, so it stopped the drive.
It did.
But
that was the first drive.
Yeah.
That was the first drive.
Yeah. Yeah, so I doubt we'll see him dropping anymore. Juju, some real nice toe drags.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot in practice. I don't know how much of that we saw in the game. I don't think he really got too involved in the game.
No, he didn't get a catch or anything in the game.
But in practice, holy cow, every time it seemed like they threw to him, it was a sideline, and he dragged them toes in bounds.
Juju is looking comfortable as far as practice is concerned. Anthony Johnson, 3 for 3. 3 targets, 3 catches, 22 yards. I was impressed with his ability to find open space against the zone and sit down.
Yeah.
Because that was most of his completions were in zone coverage. And that was really, really nice to see.
And he did have one fumble in the game. Fortunately, it was recovered by a teammate, so it didn't cause a turnover on the play.
Yep.
I think it actually
got us a first down because of it. I think he fumbled it forward.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he did. past him, who else did we see? Deontay Johnson.
Yep.
2 catches for 19 yards. I didn't think anything was crazy positive or negative from him either.
You saw Ray Ray. Deontay Johnson, yeah, didn't do anything crazy for me. Ray Ray didn't do anything crazy for me. 2 catches, 12 yards. Other than that, we got to see Tyler Simmons with 1 catch and also Rico Bussey with a catch in the game. Matthew Sexton was targeted but didn't get a reception, as well as Isaiah McCoy and James Washington.
And I do have to mention Sexton was open in the back of the end zone on one play.
Yeah, he was.
Unfortunately, he just did not get the ball quick enough.
I think that was where the ball went, but it was too late.
Yeah, I think there was too much pressure on the play that caused the incompletion on that particular play. On to the defense, huh?
Defense, that is true.
Yeah, so defensive line.
Defensive line. Cassius Marsh.
Man. Yeah, okay, so we're going outside linebackers then.
Well, I still view him as a down lineman sometimes. So.
No, I get it. Way better than we thought, right?
Way better.
Good against the run. Got himself a sack. Was in on the quarterback a few times. I think he did.
It was the sack fumble.
He did, yeah.
That's what I like to see.
Yep, strip sack on third down. There's my note right there. And then following right afterwards, blocked the field goal. Yep. I mean, Cassius Marsh didn't block it.
No, no, no.
But some are saying it was Trey Norwood. Some are saying it was Loudermilk. We don't have an official from anything.
I think it was Loudermilk.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it to him.
I did hear some people say that Norwood came clean off the edge, and that's who they thought got it.
And he wasn't even off the edge. He came clean through the hole.
Oh,
he was the first guy in, yeah.
Okay.
And it was still phenomenal play on his part. He found the hole, hit it really fast and hard, and made almost a play on the ball. But I do think it was Isaiah Loudermilk. After James paused the TV and we went back.
Yeah, we went frame by frame, man, but it was tough to see. It was a little bit blurry. It was tough to see
the ball, for sure.
Yeah, a little bit blurry on that. But I did see some good penetration out of Loudermilk. Mondo, I thought, represented himself well, but didn't splash.
Mm-hmm.
And then Carlos Davis, Isaiah Bugs. We didn't see anything too ridiculous from either one of those young men.
They both had a tackle. Wormley had a tackle. That was about it. They all didn't do a whole lot.
Some good quarterback pressure through the whole unit, though. Highsmith. Alex Highsmith.
Sack. That's what we like?
With that ridiculous spin move that he's got, man. That inside spin move is just wicked. And that guy didn't have a chance to block. And nope. Oh, man.
And that was early on in the game.
Yes.
So
if it could have possibly been a starter. I know Dallas didn't start everyone, just like Pittsburgh did not start everyone. But, yeah, he made that dude look silly.
Yeah, he did. People are saying Highsmith, like, people are underestimating, I think, what Alex Highsmith is going to do. And I think I was one of them for a while. I think I was one of those people that was just upset that Bud Dupree finally turned into something and we lost him. And I think I allowed that to have me overlook what Alex Highsmith could potentially be. So again, Alex Highsmith performed very well. Going on to, we already talked about Cassius Marsh.
Some middle linebackers,
Robert
maybe?
Spillane had three tackles. He did have a pass breakup. It was a very nice pass breakup.
Mm-hmm.
But three tackles. UG3 had three tackles on the game. Didn't see as much out of UG3 as I expected.
Yeah, he looked lost a couple times.
Yeah.
But the athleticism is clearly still there, which is good. And more importantly, maybe he made it through the game without being re-injured.
Yes, so, very important.
Yeah, we need to see him get through some games without aggravating that back. Buddy Johnson did have a nice play, blew up a screen play late in the game.
Yeah.
So that is definitely a note we've got here on there. And it looked like you had something else you
Marcus
wanted to
Allen,
talk about. Marcus
two
Allen,
two tackles.
Yeah.
Tigray Scales had a tackle, which he's someone who's on the outside looking in
now. Yeah, he's probably about number six on the middle linebacker list right now, but was on the practice squad all year last year. Yep. So he's at least a noteworthy character going into it. Safeties or corners next?
Let's go corners.
All right.
James Pierre, first off.
Yeah.
Great job. I think he played phenomenally well for the most part. He had four tackles. Mm-hmm. And he got the start. That was important.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I was really hoping he'd get a pick or something or do something crazy. But you also didn't see him getting smoked. So that's important. He's got to hold up against these higher quality receivers. He's got to go against some starters on some of these other units and see how he holds up against them. We did see a nice hit from Justin Lane.
Yeah, forced
he
fumble.
Got beat on the play, but then came back, forced a fumble, and then Antoine Brooks recovered it.
Yep.
Yeah, real nice return from Antoine, too, man. Making
double
some people
spin.
Miss. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was either him or someone else that tweeted it out with two tornado emojis. And I was like, that's solid.
Yeah.
That's real solid.
Yeah, some juke moves. He must have played some running back in high school, man.
Something. Kick return, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of guys that were played both ways in high school, you know, so I wouldn't be surprised if he did for sure. Also at corner, we did have some pass breakups from both Mark Gilbert and Steven Denmark. Two pass breakups by Gilbert.
Yeah, phenomenal play from Gilbert. That I think Gilbert, again, a guy that we saw at practice yesterday. I know we keep bouncing back and forth a little bit between the game and practice, but he is big.
Denmark's the big one.
Who was I? Who did we talk about? Oh, Gilbert. Yeah. Excuse me. Yes.
He's not small, though.
He's
Gilbert's
not small.
A good 6 footer.
I was thinking Denmark.
But
you're
Denmark's
right.
Big boy, man.
6'2.
220.
Yeah. My apologies.
4.4 speed.
Missed up the guys, Woo. But they're still... We're having bigger corners, which is not something that I'm used to seeing.
Yeah.
I didn't grow up watching big corners.
I mean, I kind of did.
You did a little
Rod
bit.
Rod Woodson was a big corner in his day.
Yeah, that's true.
And then Ike was a big corner. I saw him real recent.
Yeah, he did.
Stood up next to him. It shows how tall he is.
Go ahead and look at the Instagram.
Yeah.
Steelers by the Lake Instagram. You'll see a picture of him.
It's on Twitter right now. I don't know.
Well, it'll be posted on Instagram pretty soon.
It'll get there. Yeah. I'll get it there. Trust me on that. But also worth noting, Shakur Brown, the corner from Michigan State, expected to participate as a slot corner probably this Thursday. Because right now, Antoine Brooks Jr. has been icing his left leg. Tough to tell if it's a hamstring or a quad or a knee or what. But he's got a wrap and a bunch of ice going on that left leg, knee or higher area, something like that.
Yep.
Regardless, I kind of doubt he'll play on Thursday because he hasn't practiced yet. This is Monday that we're talking about. He didn't practice today either. So this is going to give Shakur Brown a big opportunity to play more snaps on defense. He didn't get much of a chance to do so in this first preseason game, but now he's probably going to run as the number two nickel corner. And on special teams on kick coverage, this dude had two tackles. Two tackles, and he didn't even play the whole game. Like this is part of a game and two tackles on special teams, and there's some debate as to whether or not there was actually a third one. Really was deceptive. He had a tough time getting anybody to block him. Like, these dudes could not block him.
Good.
Which is extreme value because your end of the roster corners, safeties, linebackers, those guys all going to be good on special teams. Kick coverage and punt coverage unit, that's where you make your money. That's how you make the roster. You win over Danny Smith, the special teams coach, and you'll get that 52nd spot on the roster. Yep. That's the way that works. So great job by him. Going into the safeties, we saw a real nice pass breakup from Trey Norwood.
Yeah, that
was dang near a pick.
Yeah.
Dang near.
He should have picked that. I think he should have had that, and I think he hit the ground once or twice, I think, when he missed it. But
yeah, but it was a good play by the wide receiver getting back in phase to break up the interception. Yep.
And honestly, that was also, I believe that was the play right before they missed that field goal attempt.
Yeah, they did.
So, but in the reality of regular season stuff, that could be the difference between winning and losing a game. If you think about some of the Ravens,
because that was like the 2 or 3 yard line.
Yep.
Then it would have been first and goal.
Yep. So that's a massive, massive play for him, and that's going to be talked about, I'm sure, multiple times in the film room.
Came in like a human missile a couple times, too. Didn't always necessarily bring the ball carrier to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But I like his hustle to the ball for sure. Real nice interception late in the game by Donovan Steiner.
Yes.
Number 26 in your programs.
Number one in your heart.
Yeah, if he keeps on making picks like that, he will be. That's for sure,
man. This is a good pick. This is a good pick.
And it's a good size safety, too. This is one of the undrafted guys again. 6 foot, 210 pounds in decent speed. Showed real nice instincts on the play. Jumped the route and got there before the ball did. So that's all you can ask for from your safeties, really.
We actually, I'm going to backtrack here for a minute because I just remembered something. We were talking about Justin Lane and his forced fumble.
Yeah.
Did we talk about that big hit? Remember when we thought it was Trey Norwood for a moment, and then you rewound it and it was Lane.
Yeah, no, we didn't talk about that, but we should.
Lane put the hit on the running back.
He has a run back, too.
Proud of you,
laid the wood, man.
Proud of you. I clap in your honor.
Yeah.
It was a good one. It was a good one.
Yeah, it was a running play to the right. I don't remember. It was probably like third quarter or something,
because
I don't think Justin Lane played in the first half. But the running back had survived an attempted tackle, and then Lane came in and cleaned him up, and boy, was it a nice hit.
Very nice
hit. For a guy that really didn't have the reputation of being a solid tackler or a heavy hitter, probably his best tackle in his pro career right now.
Yep. Hands down.
Yeah.
Just wanted to mention that before we continue on with the safeties.
Well, I think we also were finishing with the safeties, to be honest.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I did think that Lamont Wade had a nice game, but didn't really see anything crazy. Miles Killebrew with a lot of tackles, huh?
Yeah, six tackles. Led the team.
And he started at strong safety.
Correct.
So giving us, again, a little insight as to how things will shake up there.
I'm actually more comfortable with Miles Killebrew being the backup strong safety than I am probably a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm actually honestly really comfortable with that.
I was worried about it because they were talking about how they weren't sure if he was a linebacker or a safety.
And then we saw him at practice, and he looks like a safety.
Yeah, he runs like a safety, hits like a safety. I'm all right with that. So we do have some notes since that preseason game, obviously, been a few days.
Yep.
There was the rumors that were going around about James Washington. Adam Schefter saying that Washington wanted a trade.
Don't know where they got that from.
Yeah.
Because it's been denied twice now.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see. Both Mike Tomlin refuted it, and then Jerry Dulac, who's been reporting on the Steelers for like 30 plus years, I think, at this point, also refuted it. We'll see. I mean, I could personally see if he did complain.
I could see it too.
But also, he played in this game until the third quarter. Yep. So, like, he got playing time in the game. Two targets, no catches. He also does know where he lies in the pecking order.
I think this is my I'm going to come up with a conspiracy theory. You ready?
Go ahead.
I believe that he was frustrated. I believe that he may have mentioned in some kind of non-official interview or a comment to somebody that, you know, hey, I'm upset with my playing time and I'd, you know, maybe I could get more playing time somewhere else. That's a statement that's not necessarily asking for a trade, but
yeah.
he could easily be a number two option in many other systems.
Yeah. And a number one in some.
Yeah. And so I personally think that he probably did say something to that extent that got somebody to question it. And I bet you Mike Tomlin went and spoke to him and said, hey, we know your value. I think of last year when he had to come in a couple times and he made plays happen.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe Mike Tomlin eased his mind or anything about playing time and maybe even said, hey, we're thinking about this year doing more subbing at the wide receiver position. You know, well, anything could have happened.
And with so much jet motion going on in the offense this year, wide receivers are going to get tired a little faster because you're going to have a ton of running instead of just standing there waiting for Ben to go through the motions on everything.
Yep.
These guys going in motion, literally, are going to tire people out more. So I think you'll see a little heavier rotation on the wide receiver room than maybe it did in previous years. And it's important because you never know. Like, if a wide receiver goes down, any one of those top three wide receivers goes down, James is the next guy up.
Yep.
100%. I mean, you can change positions. Like, Deontay could go to the slot if Juju went down or, you know, Juju could scoot outside or whatever,
there's
right?
There's a lot, like, of options with this wide receiver core.
Yeah, things could happen like that. But Washington is an important part because he's so trustworthy. You know, so hopefully we don't see him go anywhere. Hopefully that's true. They did start filling up some roster spots because we saw previous to the game a couple of guys getting released, waived, injured. First one, defensive back Lafayette Pitts. He was an undrafted guy in 2016 out of University of Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Weird.
21 tackles in Lafayette his five-year Pitts career.
In the NFL.
That's yes. What I meant. Five-year career in the NFL.
I think he had 52 tackles in his college career, so.
Still not impressive.
Not amazing.
Yikes. But they filled the roster position.
You know, that's what it is. You just need another corner out there, corner safety. I'm assuming he's a corner because of DeMarcus Acy. So that's what we got on that particular gentleman. And then Sunday, they brought in a running back by the name of Pete Guerrero. Pete Guerrero, formerly of Monmouth College, 5'11", 190 pounds. That's actually Lafayette Pitts that I'm telling you about right now.
Ah.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I'm not sure how big he is, but I think he's a smaller guy. I know he's a smaller, quicker guy.
Yeah, he's 5'10", 196.
There you go. A little bigger. Not really. That's smaller.
It's a little bigger than
I'll tell you what, man. Him and Tony Brooks James, the last two guys they brought in, are both smaller, quicker dudes, and I think that's telling you a little bit about what Matt Canada likes in running backs.
I think so.
Especially with Anthony McFarland fitting a similar mold as well.
Yep.
They're looking for these smaller, quicker guys that fit this offense.
I really do want to see a double.
You're gonna see
backfield.
Yeah, like pro formation with two running backs.
Yep.
I think we're gonna see it a decent amount this year.
I sure as heck hope so. Mm-hmm. And I sure as heck hope Derek Watt gets involved more, man.
He will.
Man.
He will. And you gotta remember too, half of why he wasn't involved as much last year is because he was injured for like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So that always hurts. In the process, other than that one game where you had Henry Mondo at fullback and they scored on the play.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yep.
Most recent move today, defensive lineman Calvin Taylor waived / injured. 2 days ago, he was in a walking boot, so that tells you it's a lower body injury, whether it be foot, ankle, you know, calf, who knows.
Something down there.
He was out of the boot yesterday. I saw him walking around without any kind of anything on. And then they did sign offensive lineman Malcolm Pridgen, which Malcolm came in the league 2 years ago, opted out when the COVID gave you the option to opt out last year.
Yep.
But hasn't done anything other than a couple practice squads.
So he's previous. Fresh, at least.
Yeah, man, he's ready to go.
It's the one benefit. He's
looks
fresh.
Like he's a guard, 6'6", 322.
Big guy.
5'4", 40-yard dash, 23 reps on the bench.
6 foot six or 6 foot seven?
6'6" is what the pro day numbers said.
Where'd it go? I just had him.
Hey, man, you know Steelers.com always lying.
Yeah, you never freaking know. You never know. But yeah, anyways, we talked a lot about training camp already, or like the training camp we went to yesterday already. But just to kind of fill in some gaps, I think. One big note for me was the fact that Zach Banner was still not involved with much of the physical aspect of training camp.
Frustrated by it, too.
Very frustrated. Visibly frustrated.
Yeah, I actually was able to read his lips when they started going into the hitting the pads kind of stuff versus other players.
Mm-hmm.
And he literally looked at another guy and said, "I can do this." He was frustrated that he wasn't involved in the drills. So I expect it real soon, and maybe even possibly playing in this upcoming preseason game.
Yeah. Also, a big shout-out to Ryan and Noah, two buddies that went with us. Ryan from Rhino Hulk Gaming, LLC, and Noah, just a newly made friend of mine.
Yeah.
All Steelers fans, of course. We wouldn't take anybody else.
Yeah.
But it was a good time hanging out with them and getting some breakfast in Pittsburgh at Permane Bros in the Market Square. Yeah. Never been there. That was cool.
Delicious.
You gotta love Permane's.
Man, them retro tots are off the chain.
Yep. Thank you to Katie and
Jordan
for serving us. That was a good time as well.
Yeah.
Love the food. Love the people. It was a good time.
Yeah, absolutely.
A little out of hand here and there, but it was a good time.
If you've never watched Rhino Hulk Game, I'll tell you what, that boy is a party ready to happen. No matter where
the drop of a dime.
Yeah, real fun person to be around, that's for sure.
And then Noah's just a down-to-earth kid.
Yeah, young gun. Fun young man.
Who forgot to record Eric Ebron touching his hand.
Oh, don't remind him, the poor guy. He was beating himself up for an hour.
He's like, "I can't believe I did that. We're walking back to the car. I can't believe I forgot." He's like, "Luckily it wasn't TJ Watt because I wouldn't know what to do." But it was a good time hanging out with them and just watching Steelers practice. Hang time.
Yeah, talk about hang time. My Lord, when Presley Harvin III punts a ball, it goes about a mile high and just as long.
Not quite, but we get the idea.
Yeah, it's impressive, man. Absolutely impressive. And Jordan Berry actually had some real nice punts in practice as well. Because
he's feeling the freaking pressure
finally.
He has
no choice. Yeah, he has no choice. But as the practice went on and on, Presley really started to distance himself.
Yep. And a big shout out to Alex Kozora, who actually timed it.
Yeah, 5.27 second hang time on a one. Absolutely insane. And it was 64 yards, dude.
And if you don't understand why that's important, it's because you want to kick the ball still far, but high enough down that they don't get the chance to return it.
Yeah, so then
whether it goes out of bounds or your cover guys can tackle them or whatever it is.
With that kind of time, your long snapper's going to get there, man. Cameron Kennedy will be there.
Yeah. And he's slow.
No, he isn't. Stop. Fastest long snapper in the league.
We're going to test this now. Right. We're going to go through and look at all the long snappers 40 times. But again, just a phenomenal practice all around. They weren't in full pads, so we didn't see much contact. But the contact that we did see went about 50-50 for offense and defense. The defense on their 2 minute, they did 2 2-minute drills, one with Dwayne Haskins and one with
Mason Rudolph.
Yep. And what?
I'm sorry, no.
It was Dobbs. Mason didn't practice.
Yeah, that. Dobbs got one, and Mason did not.
Yeah.
Ben didn't get one either.
No, Ben did like about half practice and then took his shirt off and did his own thing. He had an undershirt, let me clarify. But he was just doing his own thing on the side.
So to give a little comparison from what we saw, I will tell you that I thought Dwayne Haskins had a real nice practice up until the 2 minute drill. He did successfully move the ball down the field, but really didn't seem aware of trying to get the players in position to be able to get out of bounds to stop the clock. His passes were over the middle, some dump offs. And then when it came down to the end, they got to right around the 5 yard line, I want to say. And he had multiple shots and kept on throwing it out of the back of the end zone, which is frustrating. They did not complete the 2 minute drill. It was a turnover on downs.
Yep.
Then Josh Dobbs took over in his turn, drove him right down, and I only remember one pass that was over the middle of the field, and that was on a 3rd and 2 just to make sure that he converted the pass.
Yep. Yeah, one went to James Washington short, and he got out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
It was either James or Deontay.
He always seemed to make sure that he gave his receivers room to run in front of it and get out of bounds. ended up the I think they got down to the 3-yard line, and he got a touchdown pass on his very first play from there, which left 23 seconds on the clock and a 2-minute drill.
And that was Anthony Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah, great catch by his, on his part.
Yeah, so they started off with 1:46 on the clock. They didn't do a full 2 minutes, and he had 23 seconds left and got a touchdown. Very impressive by Josh Dobbs on that 2-minute drill. And I think Haskins will clean that up. It's important for him to get some of those jitters out of the way, and that'll help him out in the gameplay as well. But it was a hair frustrating just watching. You know, when the trash got around his legs, it seemed like his accuracy went down some.
100%.
But yeah, I'll tell you what, he had some beautiful deep balls before that when there was no pressure coming at him.
Yep.
Some absolutely beautiful. It was one-on-one wide receiver versus DB drills. He just kept on just laying it right in there in those dudes' arms. It was pretty impressive.
Nice to see. Moving on, James had an awesome opportunity to attend the Hall of Fame ceremony.
Yeah, and the one on Saturday to
not the one
to clarify, because there were two of them. So I got the opportunity to go to the one where Troy Polamalu, Donnie Shell, and Bill Cowher were all inducted into the Hall of Fame. Really awesome experience. I highly recommend it, especially if there's any Steelers going in future years.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the crowd was probably about 60-65% Steeler fans, maybe more. Which is incredible because there was over a dozen people that went in.
Yeah.
But five of those people going in that weekend were Steelers. And it's really not that far of a drive from Pittsburgh.
Not at all.
So that's pretty beneficial as well. But really neat experience. I also recommend if you ever decide to go to one to pay the extra money for the floor tickets. So you're basically have an assigned seat on what would be the field of the football field. The stage is down in that area as well. And you have free roam. You can't just like stand in one area. There is one area that they'll kind of chase you away from, but there's plenty of other areas that you can stand the entire time and watch. And a lot of the players that are friends with these people that are going in, played with them, coached them, whatever, are wandering through there. I had the opportunity to actually take a picture with Brett Kiesel, with Max Starks, and with Ike Taylor. All three of them were really awesome, really gracious guys, and very, very openly said, "Yeah, come on, let's go ahead, let's take the picture."
Yeah, he even had the really opportunity He had the opportunity to take a picture with James Harrison, but there was a young fan there that wanted to get an autograph instead. James did the nice thing and allowed the kid to get an autograph rather than take the picture, but still got a picture of James Harrison.
Yeah, man. And boy, I'll tell you what, he still looks like he could play. He is enormous still.
We'll sign him.
saw Joey Porter run on by. James Farrier was there supporting as well. Casey Hampton.
Mm.
A lot of the guys that played with him
with Alan Faneca
wearing Troy Polamalu jerseys.
Yep.
But then I saw they were wearing Faneca ones the next night. So really, really cool. Willie Colon and Trey Essex were there too. A little bit lesser known Steelers, but I recognized them because I'm obsessive compulsive about the Steelers.
Fair enough. James is in stage one. He admitted that he had a problem.
I don't see it as a problem. That's stage two. That's an issue. But
fair enough. But
yeah,
again,
real fun though.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the pictures, they will be. The one is posted to Instagram right now. Others will be posted soon. The one right now is posted online, the Steelers by the Lake. It's with Brett Kiesel. Brett Kiesel actually reposted it to his Instagram page. So very cool to see that happen. Cool just to see him care enough to not just post his own pictures from the night, but post other fans' pictures as well.
Yeah.
So very cool.
Yeah, honestly, I never thought that would happen. All I did was tag him in the picture on Twitter, and he just grabbed the picture, posted it on Instagram, and there it is, 4,000 likes and maybe a few new listeners. You never know.
You never know. So make sure, hey, if you guys have been longtime listeners of the podcast or even short time, say, hey, I'm listening to people that got the chance to meet these guys that are, we're slowly working our way in to get some connections. It's happening slowly. and we'll be there one day. We'll be there. We'll get you guys in on some autograph sessions, whatever we got to do here in the next 10, 20, 30 years. We'll figure it out. But again, we can't thank you guys enough for listening. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok @Steelers by the Lake. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.